Good evening. How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. Me and my pet peeves, I like to have that door closed so nobody run in after me. Anyway, good to see everybody. And wow, we've got Christmas next week, and it's spring today. How about that? Warm temperatures, but I think the temperatures are supposed to be getting back to where they're supposed to be this time of year. But a beautiful day today, and so happy to be back with you on Wednesday nights. Been the past couple nights, we've been gone. And again, thank you, Brother Ceylon, for filling the spot, the pulpit, and speaking God's word for us. We thoroughly appreciate that. And again, Brother Allen for filling in like he did the other Sunday. And so it's just good to be back in the swing of things. And I'll just go ahead and get right into the prayer request update time and just tell you that Lily is doing awesome. She is doing awesome. I took her for a couple car rides this week. And yesterday I took her to our favorite store, one of our favorite stores, Target, definitely one of her favorite stores. And I tried to get her to get on the motorized cart to go through the store, and she said, "Dad, no, I'm going to walk. So we walked and grabbed some paper towels and we left. No pain, no tightness, nothing like that at all. Of course, she has to be careful when she's sitting and getting up and things like that. But God has exceeded our expectations. Thank you for your prayers, your love, your support. It's been a journey, but I'll say it has been a good journey. And she's ready to go back to school. And her surgery was 2 weeks ago, but we're not gonna let her go back right now. She has to be cleared by the doctor. But thank you so very much for cards and gifts and money and things like that. We so appreciate it. We have been eating good. I hope you can't tell it, but we've been eating a lot of a lot of Chick-fil-A and different things, Burger King and Arby's. And so I'm trying to get back on my regimen before soon. I feel like I did today, kind of got back on my health regimen. But anyway, we are blessed. Thank you so very much. Let's remember our children's home tonight. Let's remember Diane Ely as she continues to get better. It's taken her a while to get better, but she had a good night the other night. I spoke with Brother Randy Ely or texted with him, but let's continue to remember her. Jim Jr. spoke with him. He finally has a surgery date on his foot, and it's in March. So that's a good ways away. In fact, it's after Jubilee is when his surgery is going to take place. But he's doing okay, he says. He's just learned to live with it, he said, you know, at this point. But in March he will, I can't remember exactly, I want to say the 20th, but we'll let you know. So remember that. Brother Leonard has some stomach issues going on right now. So remember him. I believe he's going for a CT scan next week. What's it? Okay. Oh, excellent. Oh. Okay. Okay, so they went this week for the CT. All right, well, thank you for that report. So that's good. Smaller, but then the tumor in the lung, so they're going to try to get that with radiation. I feel confident that they will. And we'll just continue to pray. And so remember that, if you would. Miss Lucille Turner, as she continues to get better and recover from her hip surgery, I believe it was. And Jude Partain, as he is at home recovering from his heart surgery. Carl and Angie's son. And then Anna Horsley, Lily's friend that was in the hospital, the same hospital at the same time she was. And But she's at home and she's doing better, so we praise the Lord for that. Remember them if you would. Just remember, of course, my grandparents, the Townsends, Miss Claudia, Brother Harold, Don and Carla over in Peru, and Connie Norton. Let's remember Jenny and Jenny Clanton, all of our shut-ins, which is Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Emily McCrickard, Joyce Manning, and then remember some of our young men, James Tolan Brown, Kevin Brook, Jamie Carden. Just remember them. All right, we'll open up the floor. Maybe someone has a prayer request or a praise, or Ms. Sharon. Okay.
She went to urgent care, but she's much, much better. We're just praying she gets totally better by Saturday. She's supposed to sing that.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Fixing a lot of backs around here.
For John. Yeah.
That's the day after Christmas.
Yeah, Thursday.
You know where that's going to be at?
Emory
Midtown?
Yes, sir.
All right. Anybody else? What's on? Okay. Awesome, awesome.
Thank you for your prayers.
You're welcome. Awesome. Good news, good news. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? All right, well, again, we are moving through December. Remember, this coming up Sunday is our Christmas / Youth Sunday is how it all worked out this year. And so Brother Brian will be in charge of the message on Sunday morning, and I have CJ for Sunday night. I believe Sunday morning primarily is going to be Calvary, our choir, Calvary's choir, and it's going to be more youth-related Sunday night. But in my mind, the whole day is Youth Sunday like we normally do, so remember that. And then remember next week, no midweek service. I know Christmas is on Wednesday, but we just felt like we should do as we normally do and omit that service the week of Christmas. So no service then. And, of course, we'll have service on the 29th, the Sunday following, morning and night. And then that will lead us into New Year's week, no midweek service, which New Year's is on Wednesday as well. And so that's our last break of the year that we normally get before we start running wide open. In January, and so remember that if you would. And pretty much got Jubilee planned for March. March is right around the corner, so looking forward to a great Jubilee. That I'll be here before we know it. Just something to mention in the new year as we get close to that in March. But also remember our remembrance tree here in the back. If you have an ornament you want to like to place on that, you can do that as well. And our Christmas card table right out here in the hallway. All right. Anybody else? Again, it's so good to be back. And just good to be here on a Wednesday night. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. All would like to join us in the altar. We'll have a silent time of prayer. And then Brother Jeff will have a song for us. Something instrumentally for us. And then I'll bring the lesson to. Brother Jeff harping on things again. Appreciate that, brother. What is the official name of that instrument there? Auto harp? All right. Harping automatically. Gotcha, gotcha. All right. That is beautiful. I love the background that was just shown. It's been shown the past couple Sundays of the window and tree on the inside, and appreciate Brother Randy and coordinating everything each and every service. All right, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And I haven't been able to preach much this month on Jesus as I would like to do. I'd like to do that in the month of December. Preach various angles of the Christmas story. I think maybe once or twice I've been able to do that. Of course, last Sunday morning we gave a post-op praise of Lily, and then last Sunday night our missionary to Alaska was with us, and Brother Scott Kirby. And so tonight, that's what I want to do. I want to just center our attention around the Lord, if we could. That's what Christmas is about. And it's not about all the hustle and bustle, all the shopping and short tempers in the department stores. I'm sure everybody has seen some of that already. I know I have. And Hiram is heavy with it. But anyway, let's look at verse number 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, if we could. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." I want to call your attention, if I could, in this verse to the word mystery. Mystery. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." I like a lot of mysteries. I'm a mystery watching man. I like unsolved mysteries. Y'all know that. I'll talk about it sometimes and all those shows. I'm stuck right now on Interrogation Raw. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not on A&E, but I've been doing some binge watching on that here and there. I just love a good mystery. Well, we know that for many, many years, God's redemptive plan was mysterious. We've seen it in shadows in the Old Testament. We could go from verse to verse, book to book, and show you shadows of the coming Messiah, things that was pointing to Him. And of course, it was wrapped up in a mystery, or it was wrapped up in the Old Testament, kind of like that gift that may be under that tree for you. wonder what it is. You think you might know what it is, but you won't know what it is until it's unwrapped. But now in the New Testament, that mystery, that gift, has been unwrapped or revealed. And it is evident for all to see. You don't have to turn there. I'll just give it to you. But in Titus 1, verse number 11, the Bible says concerning this mystery that is now revealed, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." All right? And so we know that Jesus has been revealed. He is salvation, and it's the grace of God that brought him to us. And so it's been revealed. He was mysterious in the Old Testament. This redemptive plan was mysterious. But the Bible says again in Titus 1:11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And so tonight it's really without debate. It's without controversy. It's without dispute. It's undeniable what the contents of that mystery is. Notice again what he says in our text verse. "And without controversy, without debate, without dispute, great is the mystery of godliness," and he gets into the mystery that's revealed. And so it's without debate, it's without controversy what the contents of that mystery is. As this gift came to earth and was unwrapped, made manifest, it was apparent this was the mysterious, concealed thing talked about and prophesied about in the Old Testament. The Messiah, the Savior of the world, without controversy. When he came on the scene, everybody knew who he was. Some accepted and some rejected. You don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." John knew who he was, and he began to make known who he was to the world. I want to say this, that the world knew who Jesus was based on how he talked. Again, we won't turn there, but in John chapter number 18, verse number 6, the Bible says, "As soon as he said," Jesus said, "I am," they went backwards and fell on the ground. So the very words of the Lord had tremendous impact physically. He said, "I am," and the men fell back on the ground. And so it was evident who he was based on how he talked. And it was evident of who he was based on what he did. He walked around doing good and healing folks and preaching the gospel. And so it's without controversy. It's without debate. It's without dispute. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And so tonight, I want to talk to you for a few moments on this subject, the mystery revealed. The mystery revealed. This verse tonight gives us the revealing of the mystery, the life work of Christ, the fundamentals by which we believe, all in a nutshell, all in one verse. And so I would like to just mention these things if I could tonight. Number one, let's look at the first phrase there that was revealed. He says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." And here is the mystery revealed. God was manifest in the flesh. I want to say tonight that God was manifested in the flesh, and here it is, deity was added to humanity. Deity was added to humanity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, who He is. He deposited Himself in a virgin womb, and He was born among men. Again, for hundreds of years, it has been prophesied about the Messiah's coming, but it was a mystery then. Now it's not. I would have you turn, if you would, for a moment to John chapter number 1. I love these verses. I love to tell my Jehovah Witnesses, my Jehovah Witness friends about these verses, Hassan. All right. John chapter number 1 and verse number 1. This is God manifested in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, the Jehovah Witnesses don't believe that Jesus was God. All right? In fact, in their revised version of the Bible, in verse number 1, they added one letter. Does anybody know what that letter is? It's the letter A. And they insert it here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, and they put A there, a God. All right? And we know that the Word, verse 14, was made flesh and dwelt among us. His name is Jesus. And so they added that letter A in there to show that Jesus is just one of many to choose from, one of many gods. And that's the New World Translation is what they have. I have a copy of that at home. And so they don't like to hear these verses here. They just don't like to hear it. And but God was manifested in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. Also in Matthew chapter number 1, verse 23, go ahead and make your way there. Matthew 1, verse number 23, I love this verse. Another one you can share with the JWs. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, yes, Jehovah Witnesses, God with us. God with us. You know, people might think that I have a bad relationship with Jehovah Witnesses, and I really don't. I used to work out with a Jehovah Witness when I first got saved. I just like refuting their doctrine, that's all. But it says his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus is God. God is Jesus. And so that is totally refuted that they don't believe in the Trinity or Jesus was God. And so, number one, the mystery revealed, we see that it's no longer a mystery. It's been made manifest. God came down, deposited himself in a virgin womb, and Mary gave birth to this babe, and his name is called Emmanuel, God with us. Thank God, God came for us. Amen? And thank the Lord that he came, and he bled, and he died upon the cross of Calvary so that we might be with him in heaven one day. He opened up a new and living way. All right, back to our verses tonight. 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh, but then the Bible says he was justified in the Spirit. Justified in the Spirit. What does that mean, justified in the Spirit? Well, I like to think of it this way. There was a time when Jesus was baptized, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And the Bible says over in Matthew 3, 16 and 17, he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And so he was justified by the Spirit in that moment. I don't know who all seen that during that time. I don't know if it was a crowd there. I don't know who all was there. But it was definitely a time of justification. This is the Son of God. God said it himself. In fact, I want to turn back there for a moment. Matthew 1, verse number 23. You can just listen along as Matthew 3, verse 16. He said this, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So he was justified in the Spirit there. Something I love, 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 love about that phrase in verse number 17. Where God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Before Jesus entered his ministry, the Father was pleased with the Son. Before he performed any miracles, the Father was pleased with the Son. Before he walked on water, the Father was pleased with the Son. Did you know if you are in Jesus tonight, God the Father is pleased with you because you're in the Son? What a blessing that is. The days that I do good, God the Father is pleased with me because of the Son. The days that I do bad and I don't do what I should do and all that I could do, I drop the ball, God the Father is pleased with me because God the Son is in me. What a blessing that is. That he said, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Now, we won't get into this. We've said it many times through the years, but we'll just kind of just speak it and move on. But what happens in chapter 4, verse number 1? We see that Jesus was tempted of the devil. After any great victory in your Christian life, you can expect a visit from the evil one. But listen, when God does something great in your life, when he speaks to you from his word, he gives you something from his word. You remember the parable of the four soils? Some fell on stony places, thorny places. Some fell on good ground and so forth. We know that the fowls of the air came by and grabbed that seed. That's exactly what the devil wants to do in your life and mine. Anytime God does something great, anytime there's a word spoken to your heart, your mind, that gives you joy and peace and victory, right around the corner is the tempter. Chapter 4, verse number 1 of Matthew, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." And so we know that that happens. So just keep that on your radar. Whenever there's victory, there comes the vicious one. But we see that he was justified in the Spirit here. All manifestations of the Spirit justified him. At his baptism, he was justified. He was justified by the Spirit of God with the miracles that he performed. He fed the multitudes, and we know the many that were reached then. On and on and on, we can go about that. Also, the conviction of sin that came through the Word of God. He was justified by the Spirit of God. He was justified by the Spirit of God whenever he rose from the grave. And he was seen of many. He was justified in the Spirit. And so we serve a Lord tonight that was manifested in the flesh and that was justified in the Spirit. This is the mystery revealed from the Old Testament. All right. Now, let me mention this third thing back in our text verse. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, but I like this one, seen of angels. Seen of angels. You know that angels are real, right? Angels are real. He was seen of angels. I believe Paul mentions this to show the greatness of the mystery. The ministry of Jesus was of great interest to angels. Many times Jesus was seen of angels. It says it here, seen of angels, and many times. Number one, at his birth he was seen of angels in Luke 2, 12 through 14. But then in Mark 1, 13, angels ministered. And also in Matthew, angels ministered to Jesus after Satan's temptation. In Luke 22, 43, the disciples slept. Jesus was betrayed, but then an angel came and strengthened him. Matthew 28, 1 through 7, verse 2 specifically. An angel said, "He is not here, he is risen." Revelation 5, verse number 11 and 12, we see the picture of angels around the throne of God praising God. And so Jesus was seen of angels. Let me give you a couple of little tidbits on angels. Angels should not be worshipped. All right? Revelation 19, 10, you can go back and read that. Angels should not be worshipped. But angels are curious about salvation. 1 Peter 1, 12. Something else about angels, and you've heard it before, and we'll say it again, but angels can be entertained. Hebrews 13, 2. Angels can be entertained unaware. And I am convinced tonight that the week before Lily's surgery, when I was in one of my favorite stores, the Grands, okay, that I was getting ready to check out, and this woman, she just out of nowhere said, "Hey, I want to let you know that everything's going to be okay." How about that? She said, "Everything's going to be okay." I've never seen that woman before in my life. She didn't know who I was. She just said, "God told me to tell you everything's going to be okay." Guess what? Everything's okay. Everything's okay. What a blessing that is. And we can entertain angels unaware. We don't know that we're talking with them. But God certainly uses angels, and we know that the Lord was seen by angels here. Again, we're talking about the mystery of godliness being revealed. Manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, but preached unto the Gentiles. How about that? And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. Peter preached unto the Jews. Paul preached unto the Gentiles. The Jews rejected, but the Gentiles accepted. Praise the Lord for that. There was a people ready to receive them. And I want to say there's many people rejecting Jesus in the world in which we live, but there are many people who are accepting Jesus as well. All right? And so the Jews rejected, but the Gentiles accepted. Want to make a note that around the time of Stephen's death, Christians were scattered, all right? Because of this, or at this particular time, the Gentiles were reached. And so it was a great time of persecution upon the church, yet the church multiplied. Do you know what God does in your life and mine? God uses pressure to create treasure. We don't pray for pressure. We don't want struggle. We don't want trouble. But when struggle and trouble comes and God has us in the pressure cooker, guess what it does? It creates maturity. It grows us. It creates treasure. So that's what happened around the time of Stephen's death. The Gentiles were preached to. It was a great time of persecution, yet it was a time of multiplication. And so the next time you go through a struggle or you encounter some trouble, just know that God is up to something. There you go. Thank you, Brother C. Diamonds. You think about the diamond made by pressure. And I wish we had something to show that on the screen. Precious diamonds. And I like seeing those diamonds on velvet. It just really makes it pop, don't it? But we're diamonds. We're diamonds in the Lord's jewelry box. How about that? God is creating diamonds. All right? And so we see that the gospel was preached unto the Gentiles by Paul. Peter reached the Jews. And God uses pressure to create treasure in your life and mine. He turns a mess into a message. How do you think you get your message? It's from a mess of things, right? Not necessarily the good things as the things that come before the good things. The pressure, the struggle, the mess, it creates our message. All right? And in one place in the gospel it says, this shall turn to your testimony. All right, so God is at work. But we do see Paul's message to the Gentiles. It was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I love 1 Corinthians 1:17. I'll just give it to you, this phrase. And this is to all my Church of Christ friends. I have friends in the Church of Christ as well. Paul says, I did not come to baptize, but to preach. Which shows that baptism is not essential for salvation. Again, we've got some Church of Christ in the family, and they know where I stand. I know where they stand. They're watching tonight. Baptism is not essential for salvation. And Paul says that I didn't come to baptize, but I came to preach. Came to preach. While we're on that subject of baptism not being essential for salvation, if baptism was essential for salvation, then why did Jesus tell the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise? Are we just picking and choosing what we believe? You know, some of these denominations and some of these religions do that. They pick and choose what they want to believe, and they build doctrine around it. But Paul says, I didn't come to baptize, but to preach, and he preached to the Gentiles. But also preaching was and is God's way of creating faith to believe. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So back to our revealed mystery. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, but then he was believed on in the world. So the Lord's gospel was, listen to this, carried out by a small group of fishermen. Look at what the church is today. It started pretty much with Andrew. We don't hear a lot about Andrew, do we? We hear a lot about Peter, his brother. But it started with Andrew, Peter, and so on. And this small group of fishermen, and many perceived them to be ignorant, the Bible says. But they spent time with Jesus, and people knew that, although being ignorant. Yet God used a small group to build, to reach the world. And so people are still believing on Jesus in the world today because it started with a small group of men. Let us not despise the small beginnings. You know, let not us think against small beginnings. Even a smaller church like we have, compared to a mega church, there's a big difference. But don't despise, let nobody think against small things or small beginnings or small churches, because we have the same God in here as they do there. And God used a small group of men to get the gospel out. Acts 17, verse 6, the Bible says, they turned the world upside down. How about that? They turned the world upside down and started shaking it to see what would come out. All right, today many aren't believing, but there are some who are believing. Those who are desperate and need a touch from God will get touched. He is believed on in the world. But lastly tonight, we'll be through a few minutes early, but he was received up in glory. Believed on in the world, received up into glory. Luke 24:50-51, I'll just give it to you. He led his disciples to Bethany, blessed them, and was carried up into heaven. Acts 1:11, the Bible says, this same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner. This same Jesus is coming back. The Jesus we've been talking about tonight. The Jesus that was born in a manger, and the Jesus that was justified in the Spirit, and the Jesus that was seen of angels and preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up in glory, up into glory, shall come again. This same Jesus shall come again. And we're looking for his coming, aren't we? All right. He went away because his work was done. He says, it is finished. And he went away. Tonight, in conclusion, when our work is done, we will leave too. Some of us may go by the way of the grave, but I'm praying that the rapture will take place and we all just go up like that into heaven together, those that are saved. Wouldn't that be a blessing to miss the cemetery and just go straight up? Are you saved tonight? I hope you are. If you're not sure, you can be made sure tonight. And so that's the message tonight. Great, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. We did our best to just reveal the mystery that we have tonight, the Word of God, the New Testament and the Old. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. I pray that something was said that was a help. If anything, Lord, let it stir the flame in our hearts towards you up, so that we might be ready to give an answer to every man, so that we might give our best to spiritual things to you, Lord. Use us in a great and mighty way. Be with us, Lord, this coming up Sunday. Brother Brian, Brother CJ, I pray those two men will preach the best messages they've ever preached before. And, Lord, be with the program that we're going to have, the music, the youth. Father, we just want to celebrate your birth, your life, your death, your resurrection, and one day your visible return. We love you tonight. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. All right. Anything else to mention before we dismiss?